One claim for the success of the war in Iraq and its aim of creating a new Middle East is the turnabout in relations with Libya. The argument goes this way. Muammar Gaddafi saw what happened to Saddam Hussein and opted to abandon his nuclear program. Vice President Cheney offered this argument in a foreign policy speech on Wednesday.
3 months ago, after initiating talks with America and Britain, and 5 days after the capture of Saddam Hussein, the leader of Libya voluntarily committed to disclose and dismantle all of his weapons of mass destruction programs. As we meet today, the dismantling of those programs is underway. I do not believe that Colonel Gaddafi just happened to make this very wise decision after many years of pursuing secretive, intensive efforts to develop the world's most dangerous weapons. He was responding to the new realities of the world.
There is another version to this story that Vice President Cheney just told. Martin Indyk, who was Assistant Secretary of State in the Clinton administration, set it forth in the Financial Times newspaper last week. Martin Indyk, you say that Muammar Gaddafi was willing to part with his weapons of mass destruction as early as 1999. Is that right?
That's right. In May of 1999, I had the dubious honor of beginning official but secret negotiations with representatives of Gaddafi's regime. This was in the context of his decision to send the two terrorists responsible for the Pan Am 103 bombing to trial in a Scottish court in The Hague. And we then began negotiations about getting him to fulfill the rest of his obligations under the UN Security Council resolutions, including accepting responsibility and paying compensation to the families. And also, he wanted to get out of sanctions, US sanctions, and in that context, we were also talking about weapons of mass destruction. And in May of 1999, when we began those negotiations, his representatives offered to give up Libya's chemical weapons, sign the Chemical Weapons Convention, and have inspections come in.
Why, if he was willing to give them up, why didn't Washington just take him up on the offer then?
Well, our first priority at that time was to get him out of the terrorism business. 5 years ago, he didn't have a nuclear program of any substance. He had a chemical weapons program. We were concerned about that, and we discussed the steps that he would be prepared to take to rid himself of those weapons. But our first priority was to get him out of the terrorism business and get him to cooperate against al-Qaeda, which he was prepared to do.
If the fear of being the next Saddam Hussein was not what motivated Gaddafi to be so accommodating to Washington, what was it? What was going through the Libyan leader's calculations in 1999 that made him so willing to make so many concessions?
What was clear in 1999 is that he had made a decision that he wanted a relationship with the United States, that he wanted to remove the stigma of being a sanctioned country, and that he was prepared to do whatever was necessary to get out of those sanctions and to build his relationship with the United States. It was, I believe, a change in the mind of that particular rogue leader. And the pace of that change was dictated by our concerns, some of them domestic political concerns.
You mean primarily you could not normalize with Gaddafi until he had made himself whole with the families of people who had died in the Lockerbie bombing.
Absolutely. And in essence, it was a straight, linear progression from May of 1999, when we had the first meeting, to subsequently giving up the nuclear weapons capabilities in terms of his willingness to do everything we wanted at the various stages along the way. This was not a North Korean negotiation. And it's not an Iranian negotiation where you see the Iranians now kind of slipping back and trying to cheat and so on. This was a case of a clearly a change in mind of one leader who could control decision-making in his country. If Saddam Hussein had changed his mind on this, we could have well avoided this war.
Martin Indyk, who was Assistant Secretary of State in the Clinton administration and now Director of the Saban Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.